There are two psalms that are written by David that have to do with a sin that he committed as a king later in his kingship, or about midway through his life as king. Most of us will remember, if not all of us, the story of David and Bathsheba. The fact that David saw a woman in the evening bathing on the rooftop, called for her to be brought to him, committed adultery with her, and then had her husband put to death on the front lines of battle under the pretense that the battle was in its thickest. The husband never knew what David had done with his wife. David tried to cover up the sin, and then finally was confronted with it by a prophet by the name of Nathan. David repented of that sin, but in writing the 32nd Psalm, he deals with what was going on in his life while he was trying to hide his sin, to cover it up, to act as if it did not exist. And I want you to listen to something he says. Verse 3, Psalm 32. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. What David is saying is that as long as I was trying to hide my sin, I found myself struggling with it. I kept silent about it. My body was wasting away as with the fever heat of summer. Some of you this summer have been out in the hottest time of the summer months, and maybe you've been outdoors working and you found yourself, as that heat just bore down upon you, just feeling like your energy was gone. Came in and it seemed as if no amount of water could replenish it. You just had to get inside and cool down and rest for a period of time. And he says that's what happens when we hide our sin, when we cover it up. Today I want to talk to you about a thing that is an enemy of the heart. In Les's reading just a moment ago there in Mark chapter 7, Jesus talked about that which comes from the heart is that which defiles us. Well, there are enemies of the heart. There are those things that destroy our hearts and prevent us from being able to honor God in the way that we should. And I want to talk about one of those this morning. It is a thing called guilt. Maybe you've suffered from it at one time or another. I can remember a time when I wasn't much older than these boys on the front row that I had done something that my dad had warned me about not to do. Somebody went to my dad and said, "Your son did this." My dad came to me and asked me if I did it, and knowing what was going to happen, I lied. I said, "No, I didn't do it." Interesting enough, Dad did not punish me, at least not what I thought was coming. And the guilt of what I had done ate away at me, because I'd always been taught, you don't lie. No matter how bad the consequences may be, you tell the truth. And it ate away at me until finally I confessed what I had done. I acknowledged it. But it's amazing how your relationship with other people changes when you've got that guilt that you're carrying around and you can't come out. You've got a secret. Nobody knows the secret except you. You think God knows it. But in your mind, nobody knows my secret, and I'm struggling with my guilt for my secret, and I don't want to reveal my secret, so we keep it to ourselves. We hide it away. And what we find is that when we've made a choice to do something wrong, or maybe we failed to do something we should have done, then if our consciences have been trained as they should be, that agony from the guilt just eats away at us. You know, feelings of guilt are common in our society. And I dare say that every one of us at some time or other has struggled with the feelings of guilt. And they are the result sometimes of things that we've done. Maybe a spouse has been unfaithful. And the individual that has been unfaithful struggles with the guilt, knowing, I should not have done this. I should not have been unfaithful to my spouse, but they have been, and they've not shared it with their spouse. They've tried to hide it away and not tell it. Maybe it's a situation where a mother has neglected to protect a child, and that child has become injured because of the failure to protect. And that mother has struggled all these years with, if I had done this, then this would not have happened. Maybe it is a teenager who lies to his parents about where he is going. And he knows the whole time, I've lied to them. I've not told Dad the truth. and they're having to live with that secret and the guilt of that secret. Maybe it is a businessman who has been dishonest on a government contract or dishonest with a fellow businessman, and that guilt has eaten away at him or her. So sometimes our guilt is the result of things that we've done, knowingly have done. Sometimes our guilt is the result of an awareness that we just don't measure up. We haven't done something we could have done or should have done. I should have done this and I didn't do it. And so we find ourselves falling short, no matter how hard we try. And there's the guilt of not doing what we could have done. And that's what eats away at us. It's interesting how a person struggling with guilt tends to respond to that. For some of us, our response to our guilt is that we find it difficult to trust other people. And the reason that we find it difficult to trust other people is because we know we're not trustworthy. We've got a secret. We're hiding that secret. We don't want you to know our secret. And so because of our secret, you've got a secret too. And therefore, you must be just like me, so I can't trust you because I can't really trust me. Another way we sometimes deal with our guilt is that we build walls around us. Because if I've got a secret that I'm guilty about, I don't want you to find out about it. I don't want you to know what's really going on in my life and the reason I'm really feeling guilty. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep you at a distance. My relationship with you will be on the surface. It'll be cordial. But I'm not going to let you get too far into my life, because if I let you get too far into my life, you're going to know my secret. You're going to know what makes me feel guilty. And you're going to maybe say something about it. But I don't want that. I don't feel comfortable with that. So I'm going to keep you at a distance. I'm going to make sure that you stay distracted from that which I don't want you to find out about. Another way that I sometimes tend to respond because of guilt in my life, a person may respond, is they overreact. You ever seen a person that just seems to get angry at you for, why did they get angry? You got too close to their secret. You got too close to the cause of their guilt, and because you did, they find that they've got to have a defense mechanism. That defense mechanism may be to get angry with you, to put you off, to make you afraid to come too close. Or sometimes they may turn it around and strike back at you and blame you for something. And the whole reason for doing all of that is, I want to hide my guilt. I want to cover it up. I want to keep my secret. I don't want you to find out my secret. Because if you find out my secret, then it's out and I've got to deal with that. And the longer I can keep it hidden, yes, I'm going to have to deal with the guilt from it, but I keep it hidden and you don't know about it. How do we handle guilt? People have a tendency to try to handle their guilt in different ways. Sometimes we deny it. And by that I mean, when I say deny it, we say that our feelings of guilt are actually the result of a society that's hung up on some moral. Who said that I'm supposed to feel guilty because of this? Society has made this rule. I don't accept society's rules, and therefore, because I don't accept society's rules in my life, I'm not going to feel guilty about that. It's something that, it's an absolute standard that I'm not going to allow to be binding in my life. Who said it's wrong for me to be unfaithful to my wife? If a man wants to have a little time with another woman here or there, that's his business. It's nobody else's. Who gives society the right to tell me that I'm wrong in doing that? You see, it's a way of denying the right of someone else to set a moral standard in their lives. Another way we sometimes deal with guilt is to explain it away. This is because of the way I was brought up. My mother and my dad, they're responsible for the way I've turned out. They were so hard. My dad was so hard on me when I was a kid that, what'd you expect? How'd you expect me to respond in that situation? Or the kids I ran around with when I was young. You see, by explaining it away, what I do is I don't accept responsibility for what I've done. And so it's somebody else's fault. I'm not responsible for my behavior, for what I've done. Sometimes we have a tendency to punish ourselves. I'm guilty. I don't deserve anything better. I deserve whatever I get. And so a person may drink out of a sense of guilt, and that drinking helps to try to deal with the guilt. If I can dull my senses, then I won't have to struggle with the guilt. Sometimes a person may fail in their business because they don't feel like they deserve to succeed because I've done these things. They may fail in their marriages. I don't deserve to be happy because of what's going on in my life back here. Some young people have cut themselves. And one of the reasons that is given for that is a way of punishing themselves. I don't deserve to be happy, or I deserve to be punished. And by doing that, I bring pain to myself. I punish myself because of what I've done. And we hope that if we suffer enough, then we won't feel guilty. But yet, failing only tends to deepen our sense of our guilt. It makes it worse. Some people construct a system of do's and don'ts so that they have something they can live up to. You see, they can't live up to a moral standard that may be set. And so if I can construct my own system of do's and don'ts, something I can live up to, then I can live with myself. And I'm okay. The problem with that is that when you construct a system of do's and don'ts, if you still feel guilty, then what you have a tendency to do at that point is to compare yourself with someone else. Well, at least I'm better than Joe, or at least I'm better than Tom, or at least I'm better than Susie, whoever it may be. I'm not as bad as they are. The Pharisee did that. I thank you that I'm not like other men, especially like that tax collector over there. You see, we have a tendency to compare ourselves to others. We remind ourselves of how much better than we are than other persons. And historically, that tends to be the way that we do with our religious thoughts sometimes. Well, I'm not as bad as Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so, or I'm not as bad as those people that live down on this street. I'm better than they are. And then there's one other way we deal with guilt, and that is we just enjoy the sin. You see, the thinking along that line is, if I can just dull my conscience, I won't have to deal with the guilt anymore. So I'm going to bury myself in the sin. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do anyway, because by doing that, I don't have to live with the sin or the guilt from the sin. And so I'm going to just enjoy the sin, because if I do it long enough and do it frequent enough, then eventually my conscience will become so dull that it will no longer bother me. That is true until one of those late nights comes when we wake up and we find ourselves afraid and fearful and empty and alone. And suddenly we realize that that doesn't help us either. So all of these ways of coping with our guilt just don't solve the guilt problem. The truth is, there's only one way to handle guilt. Only one way. And that is through what God has provided in Jesus Christ. You see, guilt is a big thing to us. And to be truthful with you, the Bible does not really speak about guilt feelings. It speaks about guilt, which is the responsibility that we bear for sins that we have committed. It's the responsibility for the acts of the sin. And God is far more concerned about speaking to us concerning forgiveness than guilt. In both of the Old Testament, both Testaments, Old and New, the words that we translate guilt are words that, when you look at their root meaning, have to do with the idea of sending something away. In the Old Testament, the guilt offering and the sin offering, which had to do with the guilt of what we had done, had to do with a goat upon whom the high priest would lay his hands and pronounce the sins of the people. And then that goat would be led away or sent off into the wilderness. And the idea was carrying away, sending away the sins of the people. And with the sending away of the sins of the people, the guilt for those sins, the responsibility of those sins was carried away. And what God is doing is He is sending away our sins. It's with His forgiveness. It's not the feelings of guiltiness. It's not the feelings of inadequacy. It's the sin itself. He's getting rid of our sin. And so when God forgives us through Jesus Christ, what He really does is He grants us freedom. The Hebrew writer puts it this way in two passages. One is Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, where he says, "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Another is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, where he says, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Because of Jesus' death upon the cross, our sins have been dealt with fully, completely. As far as God is concerned, the issue is settled. There is no sin anymore. And that forgiveness is so complete that our sins are not even remembered anymore. But then there's something else. Because our sins have been dealt with, because they have been sent away, we are no longer guilty. We stand uncondemned before God. And the result of being able to stand uncondemned before God, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, is that we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can have peace. I can know that God is not holding my sin against me any longer. So I have peace with God. But not only does that happen, I have peace within. And you see, one of the things that guilt does is just tears us up inside. But if I know that my sin has been dealt with, that the guilt, the responsibility for that sin has been taken care of so that I don't stand condemned before God, I'm not guilty before God, then I can live at peace with me. And that means a lot to be able to say, I'm at peace within myself. I'm at peace with God because God has taken care of my sin. Now, sometimes those inner feelings of guilt may still remain even after Jesus Christ has taken care of our sins through our obedient faith and through God's gift of forgiveness. And that's one of the things that we learn to overcome as we grow in the faith. Have you ever seen a child that maybe when they were small, something happened to them with maybe a small dog or a dog. And as a result of that, as they've grown to become maybe teenagers or even adults, they're afraid of dogs. They're still scared of dogs. Even the tiniest poodle, they're scared of a dog because of something that may have happened somewhere down years ago. And all sense and all reason says you don't have to be afraid of something this big because that's small. But it's a fear that carries over from something that happened years ago. Sometimes our guilt, our guilty feelings are still there because it takes time for us to incorporate into our minds and our hearts, God has taken away that sin. I don't have to feel guilty anymore because God has dealt with it. And I can move on and I can be a free individual and I can live a life that honors Him. Now, I say all of that, but there are some facts that I need to share with you this morning, especially if you are a person who is outside of Christ. And one of those facts is this. If you are outside of Christ, if you are not a Christian, what Paul says to us in Ephesians chapter 2 is that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are guilty before God. We have all sinned, as he says in Romans 3. And because of that, he also makes the point that not only are we without God, we're without hope. In addition to that, I need to share with you something else. It's impossible for you to deal with the guilt on your own. All of these coping mechanisms that we talked about earlier, they won't work. Oh, they may help for a little while, but the guilt comes back and you have to deal with that all over again. It does not work in the long term. You cannot take it away on your own. The only way you can take away your guilt is to come to Jesus Christ and receive the pardon and the forgiveness of sins that is offered through His blood and through what God has made possible. Now, whether you are a Christian or not this morning, there's something else I need to say. If you have guilt in your life that is robbing you of a joy that you could have as a child of God, why do you continue to live with it? Are you not tired? Is it not wearing you down? Have you not reached a point where you said, I'm tired of feeling this way. I want to feel differently. If you were constantly tired because of a physical issue, would you not go to a doctor and say, Doc, I am tired. I don't know why, but there's something going on. I need you to help me. And he'll run a series of tests and say, well, here's your problem. Low blood sugar or iron is low or whatever it may be. And we need to make some adjustments in this or that or your diet to get you feeling well again. When it comes to spiritual issues, we will tend to just let those go and not deal with them. And I want you to understand, if your guilt makes it difficult for you to trust others because you're untrustworthy, you need to do something about that today. If your guilt has caused you to build walls in your life so that you're keeping everyone else at a safe distance, that's not healthy. If your guilt has reached a point where it causes you to overreact to other people in your life, it's time to say enough. You're never going to find peace as long as you allow it to go on with you in your life. The only answer is to seek that which God can provide, to seek that which God offers. I'll take you back to Psalm 32 for just a moment. Listen to what David says. I acknowledge my sin to you, verse 5, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach you. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. If you look at the beginning of that psalm, here's what David says. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. If you turn to Psalm 51, there what we find David saying, he talks about God washing him and making him white as snow. He speaks of God cleansing him in such a way that as he is able to say, I have a clean heart. He even asked God, create in me a clean heart, renew unto me a steadfast spirit, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Is that something you would like to have today? A clean heart to start over so that the guilt doesn't eat away at you anymore. A steadfast spirit so that you can faithfully serve Him. To know the joy of the salvation that God offers you in Jesus Christ. If that's something you want, then let this thing that attacks your heart, the guilt, be done away with. Come to Jesus today, confessing His name, repenting of sin, being buried with Him in baptism. Or if you're a child of God, let us pray for you so that that guilt may be taken out of your life. But if you need to respond to His invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?